This is Healing Justice, a podcast bridging conversations at the intersections of collective healing and social change. I'm your host, Kate Werning. Each week, we share a conversation with a powerful leader and an accompanying audio practice to help resource you in your leadership and the well-being of you and your people. This week, we are joined by Miski Noor and Candace Montgomery, and they're guiding us through a practice to think about healing in the middle of moments of direct action and escalation. They'll talk us through some examples, including powerful actions they led during the Super Bowl this year in Minneapolis, and they'll give us some questions that we can ask ourselves when planning for the preparation time before a big action, how we can center care during the action itself, and the need for aftercare and follow-up and what that can look like. This week's practice format is a little more workshop-y, and so you'll hear these questions and ideas from Miski and Candace, and you might want to have something available to take some notes and consider how what they share applies to whatever campaign or action you are currently working on. Just to say a bit about our guests, Candace and Miski both work with the Black Lives Matter Global Network. Miski as a communication strategist and Candace as part of the organizing team. They're also both part of the Black Visions Collective, formerly known as Black Lives Matter Minneapolis, and are co-partners in a Minneapolis-based housing project called the Purple Palace Project. The Purple Palace seeks to provide affordable, community-centered housing for movement activists and organizers. And I know them both through their involvement as trainers and leaders with Momentum. All right, so get ready for them to take us through thinking through healing in action. Here we go. Hey, y'all. This is Miski.
Hey, this is Candace.
And we are so excited for y'all to join us for thinking about how to really take care of you and your people while you are engaging in direct action. Or like confronting the state in order to create a better world for all of us. And the way we really want to think about this is, you know, what are you doing before the action? What are you doing during? And what are you doing after? So when we're talking about what is happening during the direct action, it is not just how are you thinking about healing justice in the action, right? It's something that you have to be thinking about and essential to the work before you even put your bodies on the line. And so for the first part, in thinking about before care, right? It's really important that you're actually framing up what you want for your movement and really thinking about some key questions. What is the story? Right? What is the story that your action is going to tell about your people in this moment? For the example of the Super Bowl action, where we here in Minneapolis with a Black Visions Collective, with a larger coalition of folks known as Divest Invest Minnesota, we really wanted to tell the story of how we were demanding that the city of Minneapolis really divest from violence, invest in community, and imagine what's possible. And that was really important for us because it was a way for us to really think about the experience, right? We wanted the experience of the work that we were doing to be liberatory and to be imaginative and visionary. About the world that we could create, a world that actually like supports and cares for our people. So that really helped to make sure that people were trying to embody that in the work that we were doing. And it's really important. Like I think one principle I would think about when you're thinking about the experience, your experience, your community's experience, the experience of those who are risking themselves for our liberation, is really thinking about aiming for wholeness, right? Aiming for a whole experience that cares for people before, during, and after, aiming for a whole experience that is thinking about people's emotional well-being and physical well-being, thinking about if folks are getting a good meal so that they can, so their body is supported, if folks are drinking enough water, you know, if folks have the support that they need to show up as their best selves, right? So really asking yourself, you know, what kind of people do you want walking away from your action, right? And is this action creating the kind of community that you want? A community that is in line with your values, and a community that really is able to care for each other, even and especially in moments of crises.
The second piece that we want to name around building out this practice is thinking about the during care of an action. And the principle that you are really striving for here is, how do we make the work of fighting for our liberation feel liberatory? And how do we circumvent some of the systems that in these high crisis moments oftentimes try to get in our way of being able to do that? And so when it came to the Super Bowl action that we're using as an example here, it's really actually like the during care is actually a bunch of other prep care as well, of thinking about how do you create legal support systems that affirm all aspects of someone's identity, and give folks the information that they need to navigate a really otherwise confusing system. How do you make sure that there are things on the ground that are really necessary? The basics, like Miski said, water, but also ways that help to hold people's energy and spirit. Thinking about, you know, like all of the different senses of our body, all the ways that our bodies need to be nourished in those high intensity moments. And at the same time, how are you realistic? So, you know, in Minnesota, when we were doing the Super Bowl action, unfortunately, we could not bring heaters down to where we were doing our action. And so had to think about ways that we kept people warm, but also prepared people in the right way to understand, like, this is going to be a really cold thing, and making sure folks are able to make those choices and have the information that they need about what is going to happen during the action. And then the last piece of that is just a lot of really intentional planning, and asking yourself lots of questions around what is going to happen here that I need to think about, and then who is actually going to do the thing during the action, making sure that those roles are actually delegated, and that they're taken really seriously. So we had folks not only who are in lockboxes, but we had 1 to 2 people per person in a lockbox, giving them water, holding up their arms, changing around their socks, fixing their boots, things like that, because it wasn't just about making sure people can stand in lockboxes, but make sure that they felt as comfortable, especially knowing that they could be spending a couple nights in jail during the action. So really thinking about what's the during care for people, both like body, mind, spirit, that's going to be necessary to make sure that people don't dread coming to your next direct action, basically. And then the last piece that we'll both kind of speak on is the post-care work. So oftentimes you have this like really high intensity action where a bunch of hopefully newspapers are printing it out and it's gone viral on social media locally or maybe even nationally. And we kind of just leave it at that. But I think that the two pieces are celebration and then healing post actions. And maybe Miski, you can talk about how that looked for us during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so one of the ways in which we wanted to take care of our folks afterwards is even just providing space to process, right? Like, you go through an intense action, put your body on the line out in, like, you know, negative 19 degree weather. You deserve a hot meal, like a foot rub, and like some conversation about the risk that you just took. So, you know, working with People's Movement Center, they hosted us and we held like a debrief dinner and just had a facilitated conversation about, you know, what was coming up for people. What did they feel like was successful? What did they feel like what was missing? What is it that they wanted to change for the future? Because they actually wanted to come back, which I think is a success. And it's also because we were thinking about, you know, ways to care for our folks and to stay connected beyond just the high intensity action. So in that space, folks were also able to access body workers, right? There's folks who are doing cranial sacral massage and really just caring for people's bodies and spirits in the space afterwards. And so that was really dope. And I think another way that we try to create consistent healing space is through Black Joy Sunday. So it's a practice of a lot of folks throughout the movement. It's not just our chapter or just the BLM network. A lot of folks participate in Black Joy Sunday, where it's just, exists to create space for Black folks to come together, to decompress, to participate in like creating music together or, creating new practices with each other or dance or just having conversation. And really be able to connect with each other and create some of that space that we don't get in just our regular everyday lives or the regular everyday world, where we can be really intentional about cultivating Black joy, because we know that is the root of our resilience. And so Black Joy Sunday is one vehicle, one space, happens every first and third Sunday of the month. And that's one of the ways that we're continuously trying to refill, refuel ourselves and strengthen our connection to one another.
I would just also say celebration, like lots and lots of celebration. And I think that really comes in particular in thinking about what is the win, and having a frame around that beforehand, and celebrating that, whether or not you hit it or not, the fact that you tried is really critical. I think it helps to keep hope going. It helps for people to feel purpose. And we just need more time to celebrate ourselves. And that should look like whatever forms, if it means a night out on the town dancing with the team or having a kickback at someone's spot, just a way to really, throw up your feet and celebrate the hard work you did. Because too much of this work goes unnoticed and goes without thanks. And so it's the simple ways that we can do that. That's really, really critical to making sure that we can continue to do this work. And I think that's our practice. Yeah. So thinking about those three steps, asking yourself those sets of questions, and really like what we're offering is when we're implementing direct actions, being intentional and thinking about how are we bringing healing into every aspect of our work continuously.
Big thank you to Miski and Candace for that practice. To support their work, you can check out the link to donate to the Black Visions Collective Movement and Legal Fund in the show notes. You can download the corresponding conversation, the episode right before this one, to hear about the 18-day police station occupation in Minneapolis following the police murder of Jamar Clark, and how healing, escalation, and direct action can and need to go hand in hand, and in some ways did during that action. They also share about their collective housing project, gaining trust in moments of crisis and direct action, raising money for therapy and support for leaders who need it, and organizer burnout. You can sign up to stay in touch with us at healingjustice.org and find us on Instagram at Healing Justice, like Healing Justice Podcast on Facebook, and follow at HJ Podcast on Twitter. If you want to give an offering in reciprocity and gratitude for this practice and all of the audio practices that we share for free every week, You can do so by contributing at patreon.com/healingjustice. This whole project is running off of free will offerings. And if you don't have money to give, that's totally cool. If you share this with people who can benefit or subscribe, rate, and review on whatever podcast platform you're listening, all of that helps this resource make it to the people who need it most, yeah? So thank you for your participation in that way. This podcast is generously mixed and produced by Zach Meyer at The Coal Room. And thank you to Christian Photography for the image that we used as the cover for this episode. Thank you for your commitment to building movements that liberate all of us. Hear you next week.